The Old Testament reading for the 14th Sunday after Trinity is from Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Galatians chapter 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praised God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now this man was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Luke chapter 17, 11 to 19. The sermon title is God's Grace, Our Thanks. Our gospel lesson this morning is about a miracle of Jesus that demonstrates three important aspects of a Christian's life. First, we see God's grace and his gifts. Second, we see a believer's response to God's grace in faith. Third, we see a believer's thanks and praise. So let's review each aspect in this story and then apply it to our lives. The story begins with Jesus' journeys from town to town on the border of Samaria and Galilee. It takes place at the end of Jesus' ministry, shortly before Palm Sunday. By this time in his ministry, everybody in Palestine had heard about Jesus and his many miracles and healing. As he was about to enter a village, he and his disciples encountered a group of 10 lepers who cried to him for help. We don't know how they recognized Jesus. We can presume that they had heard about his many miracles and hoped that he could cure them too. The unique feature of this healing, compared to Jesus' other miracles, was that he did not heal the lepers immediately or right there in his presence. Instead, he commanded them to go to the priests in Jerusalem, who were in charge of public health. The regulations for this are found in Leviticus chapter 13, 1 to 46, and chapter 14, 1 to 32. And this had been in existence since the time of Moses. The priests were examined people whose skin gave evidence of leprosy. The priests would then make an official pronouncement of either clean or unclean. Those who were unclean had to live outside the camp or outside the town limits, while those pronounced clean could return to normal society and its functions. The lepers responded to Jesus by packing their bags and heading to Jerusalem to visit the public health officers who were priests. While on the road, they discovered that they were all completely healed. 9 of the healed lepers continued on to receive their official approval, while 1 healed leper turned back and found Jesus. Verses 15 and 16 note that this one healed leper was, quote, praising God with a loud voice and fell at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Luke reports that the man who returned was a Samaritan. Jesus then commended the Samaritan for his response to his healing. The gospel concludes with Jesus' words, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, this story is straightforward. It doesn't need much explanation except for the last verse, and that is somewhat complicated. Jesus' words, "Your faith has made you well," seems to contradict verse 14, where it indicates that all the 10 lepers were cleansed and healed. And it might also give the impression that faith itself was the cause of the lepers' healing instead of its instrument. The best explanation of verse 14, which is congruent with the rest of Scripture, is that all 10 lepers were physically healed. But only the one with faith was made truly healthy in body, mind, and soul. Wellness, in Christian terms, is not just a matter of physical health and endurance. It is also a matter of mental, emotional, and spiritual health and endurance. The 9 healed lepers who did not return to exhibit their faith through the praising of God and the thanking of Jesus. But what was wrong with them? Didn't they know that they were only healed by the grace of God and by the healing power and love of Jesus? Or did they think that Jesus was some type of divine healer whose ministrations they deserved because they were the elect people of God? We don't know. We just know they didn't come back to give thanks. The Samaritan, on the other hand, realized that he was healed only by God's grace and the compassion and love of Jesus. He realized that he did not deserve the gift of restored health. He realized that Jesus was not sent by God just to hand out gifts of physical health, but that he came for the eternal salvation of mankind. And that's what he had faith in. Jesus' words, "Your faith has made you well," those words might seem to make the Samaritan's faith the cause of his own healing. Lutheran theologians reject this possible confusion by teaching that faith is an instrument, not a cause of grace or salvation. The Apology of the Augsburg Confession explains how faith works in this way, quote, "In speaking of justifying faith, therefore, we must remember that these three elements always belong together: the promise itself, the fact that the promise is free, and the merits of Christ as the price and propitiation. The promise is accepted by faith. The fact that it is free excludes our merits and shows that the blessing is offered only by mercy. The merits of Christ are the price, because there must be a certain propitiation for our sins. At every mention of mercy, we must remember that this requires faith, which accepts the promise of mercy. Similarly, at every mention of faith, we are also thinking of its object, the promised mercy. For faith does not justify or save because it is a good work in itself, but only because it accepts the promised mercy." That's Apology, Article 4, 53 to 56. In this passage from the Apology, if you could follow it, perfectly explains what happened in the miracle of the healing of the 10 lepers. Note in verse 13 that they cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, have mercy upon us." The result, which followed Jesus' gift of mercy, required faith, and the faith accepted the promise of mercy. So you see, the Samaritan was made well, not because his faith created the healing or was a good work in itself, but because his faith accepted the promised mercy of Jesus. We finish our review of this miracle story with some comments about thanks. Besides Thanksgiving Day, how often do you thank God for his gifts to you? Do you thank him for your food through a table grace? Do you thank him for the good things of the day or night through a morning or evening prayer? Do you offer thanks to him through our Lutheran liturgy on Sunday? Or is your mind and heart somewhere else during that part of the liturgy? In Luther's Small Catechism, under the Second Commandment, he teaches us that the positive way to obey this command is to, quote, "call upon God's name in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks." Luther's Catechism, which you can find in our hymnal on pages 321 to 330, includes daily prayers that include thanks. There you can find the morning prayer, the evening prayer, a prayer before a meal, and a prayer after a meal. Lutherans have used these prayers now for almost 500 years, and others that do the same thing. And actually, these prayers of Luther do the job perfectly, although you may use other appropriate daily prayers. With regard to giving thanks to God in our Sunday worship, I draw your attention now to our Lutheran liturgy to think about what we are saying every Sunday. In the Gloria in Excelsis, we include the phrase, "We glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory." At the end of the first and second lessons, you respond, "Thanks be to God for the things that we have just heard." In the proper prefaces, as we approach the sacrament, the pastor normally includes the phrase that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to thee. After the communion, we give thanks for the body and blood of our Lord with the words of Psalm 107. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. The pastor then wraps up that section with a prayer of thanks for this salutary gift. The last words in the Lutheran liturgy spoken by the congregation besides the Amen are, "Thanks be to God." The interweaving of thanks throughout the divine service in the Lutheran liturgy is just one reason that we should always retain this liturgy and return to it, even if we occasionally use other liturgies, such as Matins, and others provided in our hymn book or by our church body. Christians who do not use liturgies often fail to give thanks, although they usually fill their churches with praise songs. Is this ingratitude or just an oversight? I don't know. You can also, however, fail to give thanks by only mouthing the words in our liturgy and not sincerely meaning them. Thanks is chiefly a matter of the heart and an attitude, although it is expressed in words. May you always have faith in the promised mercy of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life, so that you truly praise and thank Jesus now and forever. In his name, Amen.